listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble here, live in the Dog Bowl in Berea, wrapping up this opening day of March Madness edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I've got a few people here. Before we get into that Twitter mailbag that I've promised, I've got Andrew Gribble sitting across from me here in the Dog Bowl, who had the Iowa State Cyclones all the way to the Final Four, and I believe Jason Gibbs has the Cyclones in the Elite Eight. And I pose this question to both of you. How does it feel to have your bracket busted this early?
I hate you.
it's kind of just a gross feeling, especially when you like make a pick, like when you watch. I barely watch college basketball that much, so it truly is random. And I just saw Iowa State. I thought they looked kind of like a team on the rise and
won the Big 12.
Yeah,
beat
won
Kansas.
The Big 12. You know, had some momentum, and then
you know
splat.
What? I'm all right. I'm okay because my Dukies are still
You've
in
got
it.
The other seven alive still. Good for you.
Exactly. Okay. And I've got all my
two games.
I've got all my Final Four teams, and it might already be the second game, but I'm in good shape still.
And now, Andrew, I want to throw it to you really quick. You gave us some great news, or actually not so great news, about one Cleveland Brown in the Iowa State
Cyclones.
Well,
you know, we have five Browns, their brackets going against each other on clevelandbrowns.com right now. Andrew Hawkins had Iowa State in the finals.
So he is really busted.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as busted as it gets outside
you're
of
done.
losing your winner.
You know why? Because he went to Toledo.
So this is good news for Joel Bitonio, Gary Barnage, Phil Taylor, and Spencer Lanning, who are also participating.
Are they?
Yeah, awesome. in our bracket challenge. Check it out, clevelandbrowns.com.
All right, there you go. Gibbs, hit us with some tweets.
All
what
right,
do you got?
We're going to go rapid fire. We got about 6 minutes left in the show.
All right.
Rule changes, things that the NFL can do. Satch Wilson says roster expansion. Thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is I don't want to expand the 53, but I think having all 53 up on game day and the already expansion that has been done to the practice squad is a good thing. The one thing that I believe would happen if we did expand the roster is you would dilute that bottom 15% of the roster, and you have some guys who essentially are not NFL worthy making NFL teams at that point.
Yeah, what is the reasoning now to have the different – is just for decision-making purposes or what? Like to have the smaller rosters on game day? I mean, what – I don't know what the reason is.
I think it limits the number of quarterbacks that you can have, and I think also, too, for just for health – like injuries and health reasons. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I've been on both sides. There's been – early in my career, Marty Schottenheimer would walk up to me and go, "You're down today." And then, you know, of course, you shrug your shoulders and you've worked so hard all week to be able to ready. And then all of a sudden, some weeks, two weeks in a row, I'm down and I'm inactive as a rookie. He'd walk up to you when you least expect it, like, "Hey, we need you today. You're up." And all of a sudden, it's like you're looking for an energy drink to get cranked up to go play a football game.
Yeah, that's what we saw at the end of the year out of a guy like Pierre Desir, who was kind of he had been inactive for a while. He plays and then he makes the most of his moment. A guy like Scott Solomon, who had bounced around, he came in and just those last two games, he was just running around like totally fresh legs.
Yes.
And, you know, it looked like he'd just started a season where everyone else was in week 16.
So absolutely.
I can see both sides of that.
Sure.
All right, guys, from Browns Fan 42, who, by the way, also tweets that we never read tweets. This one's for you, Big
Daddy.
We're reading
them for you, brother.
If I could change one NFL rule, it would be the play being whistled dead. Too many plays affected by the premature whistle. Thoughts?
Yeah, I can see that. And I don't think there's any call that comes to mind. But I know that great things for some teams, not so great things for other teams, happen when an inadvertent whistle or early whistle comes in, when a play actually, you know, materializes after the whistle.
That's where it gets tough, though, because, like, what if the officials see that it wasn't a fumble and they make that ruling? And, you know, you don't want just guys to play it out every single time. You're just wasting guys' energy, and you're having every single play with a guy running the ball all the way to the end zone, like – you know, when you see sometimes players do that for no reason, that's where it gets tricky. I mean, I understand the frustration with that, and that's why they've kind of adapted the rule. I think, remember when replay first came in, dead ball, no way you could review it. Now it seems like they've modified that a little bit to see if the fumble would have happened. It seems like they're maybe adjusting it so you can see what would have happened, and that's kind of made it better. There's not a perfect solution.
The next question, I guess, would be in what year in the 2000s will we assume that NFL referees will be robots that essentially get every call right?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think they have a very difficult job.
They do.
That is very hard to do, and some do it better than others. But if these aren't the best guys doing it, then who are? And so that's why there's no solution until robots.
I guess. You're right.
All right, guys, from Bill Mull. I would still like to see some more changes in the NFL overtime rules. Mike Klebo tweets at the show, change automatic first downs in certain situations to yard penalty and replay down. Thoughts?
I wouldn't mind seeing those situational yard penalties instead of automatic first down and or spot fouls. I think that's something that comes into play, and maybe it's something they tinker with in fourth quarter. You know, that pass interferences are a 15-yard penalty and potentially maybe an automatic first down, but it's not a spot foul. So, and I think that would impact a lot of games towards the end where teams are throwing the ball deep or there's big, you know, a judgment call by a referee on a pass interference because they're taught to throw the flag, not to not throw the flag in those situations.
And going on the overtime thing, I just don't like ties. Like, no, can we get rid of the tie? I mean, like, yeah. It's just... we're better than this.
I
think we can find a solution that eliminates the tie. Once it seems like they're happening more for some reason these last few years, and it just messes up the standings. I don't like seeing that I think it was the Panthers
that
and Bengals
half game.
That it makes things much more math oriented for us, and we don't like
it. Really does. And I'm a college football fan. I believe you are too, having followed it for so long. Are you a fan of the college football overtime platform as opposed to the NFL?
Yeah, I like it. I think it would have to be adjusted for the NFL because I think if you got nothing on those first downs and you kick a field goal, it's almost automatic in the NFL, whereas college it's not. I think you'd maybe tweak it a little bit, but I like it better than what the NFL has right now.
Gotcha. Well, that is it for us today. The March Madness has started. We've got our first upset under our belts. We've got a few fellas here with me on the air that have already been busted. Hopefully you're not. Were you watching those NCAA games? Tune in tomorrow. I want to get your feedback as well. So I want to thank Andrew Gribble. Thank you for joining me again. Thank you to our great producer, Jason Gibbs, for your content as always. I'm Matt Wilhelm, live from Berea. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.